Hey guys, Sharon McLaughlin here. I am thrilled that you're listening to the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. This podcast is actually a spinoff of a Facebook group that I started called Female Physician Entrepreneurs. I was burned out as a plastic surgeon, and I really had no place to go. Over time, I created a Facebook group. We grew the group. We're over 7,000 strong right now, and we're all about networking and collaborating. So if you find yourself interested in learning more about business, join our Facebook group. Each week, we try to do a podcast where we make connections, we learn about each other. Most importantly, we're here to support each other. So let's listen along for this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today, we have Dr. Leah Houston. As you guys know, she's the creator and founder of HPAC. She's coming today to talk to us about her journey, what she's been through, why she started it, and then more importantly, what's the vision here? So Leah, thanks so much for being here today. I know that you're trained in emergency medicine. Tell me how you went from emergency medicine to making the journey into the digital world, the digital space.
Yeah, I mean, I never really considered myself a technical person. You know, I didn't take any computer science courses or anything in undergrad. And all physicians are suffering right now. But as a practicing doc, I was suffering. I was experiencing just total burnout, total disrespect and disempowerment by administrators. But then one day something big happened and my identity was being used, misappropriated, essentially stolen by the hospital I was working for. And I also was like doing some investments in real estate and in understanding and learning about cryptocurrency at the time. I had made small investments in Bitcoin and Ethereum. So I understood the technology and I had learned about decentralized identity as well. And when this happened to me, I realized that part of why I felt so disempowered is because I have no control over my professional identity. And the reason they were able to misappropriate my credentials and my name and my likeness and my PTAN numbers and my DEA numbers is because we as doctors are forced to hand over the rights to that just in order to have a job. And so, you know, because it was such a really profound and horrific experience for me, it really propelled me to want to use this technology to fix this, not only for myself, but for everybody else.
You saw that there was a problem. How did you go about providing a solution? What were some of the steps that you took?
The first thing I did was really read a lot about it and understand if it really was a thing or if it was just a fake thing that people were talking about. And I went to Silicon Valley to the Internet Identity Workshop, which is founded by one of my advisors, Kalia Young and some others. And I met the people there who created the opportunity for us to have identities over the internet. The people who decide how your login to your bank is going to work. People who decide that a URL is going to be called a URL and what is going to create security around the internet and around your identity are the same people who are working on this current decentralized identity problem. And I got to meet some of the most brilliant people and I realized it was a real thing. In fact, at that time, the Federal State Medical Licensing Board, the FSMB, was working on a project called BlockCert, where they were trying to help us put credentials on the blockchain and all those kinds of things. And so I followed that project and I realized it's a real thing. And I said, I'm going to give this a try. And, you know, I did a feasibility study among our colleagues and I said, hey, is this something you're interested in? And there was enough interest that I said, okay, I'm going to do this.
Tell me about your company right now. What is it offering? I know that it has transformed. You're offering a lot more than where you started, which is typical of most companies, right? They start, they have an idea, and you just keep on flourishing. You've done an awesome job. Thank you.
Well, thanks. I mean, so my initial thought is, oh my God, we need a union and, you know, we need a way for us to vote and collaborate on ideas. And we can use decentralized identity to do that. And it can also protect my credentials. And so I'm still doing that, actually. It's not looking exactly as I expected it, but identity needs to come first. Because in order to vote, and in order to know that one person only has one vote, you need to first solve the problem of identity. And so we're doing that through a mobile application where you onboard. We use a third-party identity verification system called Onfido to just make sure that you are who you say you are. that checks the passport or license. And then we have you upload one medical credential, one valid credential, whether it be your medical license, your medical degree, your residency certificate. And then once you do those two things, you are now invited and allowed to be part of the community. And, you know, if you have a New York State license, you're automatically invited to a New York State community group. If you are a pediatrician, you're automatically invited to the pediatrician group. And you have a profile like you do on LinkedIn or Facebook. And the unique thing is that this is a storage space for your credentials. And this is aiming for you to be able to move around and use your credentials in perpetuity from the day you graduate or the day you receive your license throughout your career. So the credentialing problem is a real problem. It takes 2 to 6 months for us to onboard and credential for a new job. It takes, you know, it costs $1 million on average in potential revenue for a hospital. And physicians lose on average around $120,000 in missed revenue or missed income every time they go through this process. So this is a very big problem. It's a $5 billion problem. And this is a very real solution. So we're in the process of application development right now. And we're in the process of entertaining pilot projects with academic centers so that they can actually issue you a digital credential that's permanent, that's in your wallet for the rest of your career. And so we already got a yes from one place and we're in the process of IRB approval. It's very exciting. And we're going to continue to try to make those business relationships.
Congratulations on that. Tell me, looking back, would you have done anything differently?
Do I have any regrets in my career? It's hard to say. If I didn't become a doctor and experience the pain, I wouldn't even care about this problem. You know, and I'm not, you know, HPEC is not the only company trying to solve this. There's like 4 or 5 other companies out there. One of them is Y Combinator backed, which is, it's a kind of a big deal in Silicon Valley. So this is a very real solution to a very real problem. And I wouldn't have even known it existed if I didn't go through the pain myself. So from a professional standpoint, no regrets. Personal regrets, there's occasional ones here and there.
I think we always have that. Tell me, as far as what do you think are the things that helped you succeed? If someone were to go into the digital world, what would you recommend? A couple of steps for them? Like, what are some things that they should definitely do?
Well, I have to say that the thing that empowered me the most was having parents that were very loving and very kind and very encouraging. My competence borders on arrogance sometimes because I really was told I could do anything from a small child. And I was, read to and I was loved and I was never given a sense of, well, you can't do that. I grew up in poverty. So there was a glass ceiling and that felt low. But as far as like the love that I got from my home, that really empowered my mind to believe that I could. From that standpoint, and then moving forward, wanting to get into technology, if you really love something and you're interested in it, you'll naturally read about it and learn about it. And if you naturally read about it and learn about it, you'll naturally come across allies and people who are in alignment with your vision for how you want to do the thing that you're thinking about. And for example, one of my earliest and favorite mentors is Dr. Alex Kahana. He is an anesthesiologist turned crypto enthusiast. And I met him at Crypto Monday in New York City back in 2017, I believe. He was working in the crypto space as a physician. And I told him about the idea and he was very excited and really was very supportive. You know, and I also found my attorney because I went to a pitch competition. And I pitched and he was in the audience and he was actually judging the competition and we got talking after. So really do what you love, read about what you love, go to the places that what you're interested in exists, meet the people there, and you will get the ideas and the support that you need. If you're an extrovert like me, I mean, for introverts, it might be a little harder.
This is really great advice, Leah. But I believe even an introvert, it's okay. Maybe it'll take them a little bit longer, but if they're following the steps that you just laid out so perfectly, they'll get there.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It came easy for me though, to like run up to him and I recognized his picture from articles I had read that he wrote and introduce myself and ask him for help. For some people, I realize it doesn't come as easily, but you're absolutely right. you know, it can come in other ways. You can send messages on LinkedIn, you know, you can send emails, you that kind of stuff too.
Absolutely. Yes. Great suggestions for introverts. You know, you mentioned you knew who you were talking to by the picture. I have a friend in the insurance world, and she will map out when she goes to those national conventions, who exactly she's going to meet, when she's going to try to do this. And that's like the whole thing is mapped out, you know, as far as her days go. And at the end, like, did she speak to the people that she wanted to speak with? And if not, then she's going to, you know, readjust her schedule. And so it's great as far as planning. So I'm glad you had that opportunity to meet. And then, you know, he became your lawyer.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
Tell us going forward, what's your vision for the company? What do you see? What do you hope to see?
I'm really realizing, I think all of us are realizing, especially during COVID, how much suffering is happening in our profession. And it's the physicians, it's the patients, it's everybody involved. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, really, to think about how hard we as physicians worked. And we really sacrificed a lot to learn this really sacred art of healing. To learn the complexities of medicine and the humanness around it, to try to like do our best for our patients, and the disrespect that we're getting. And it's really, really scary for me. So my vision is that HPEC will be a tool for physicians to restore that privacy and that trust that we're supposed to have with our patients. You know, technology has essentially torn that trust apart. It's created a wedge between doctors and patients. And I believe that with decentralized identity, we will be empowered to connect with our patients in a trusted, secure, and private way, the way it's supposed to be, and streamline some of those administrative burdens that weigh so heavily on us every day. That's the vision.
Congratulations for all that you do. Thank you for inspiring us as always and coming into the group. I've watched your journey and your transformation.
No, I mean, without your group, I would have felt very lost for a very long time. You know, you can read so many startup books and entrepreneurship books, but especially being a female physician and never having done this before, like being able to go in there and meet other people who are doing the same thing and read about their journey and get tips and you know, be a part of community, that was extremely empowering for me. So I'll be eternally grateful for you, you know, and everything you've done. And for everybody else too. It's like, it's a beautiful thing to see.
Thank you. Really, Leah, thanks so much for being here today. Where can people find out more about you? What's your website? What's the company's website?
So the company website is HPEC.io. And, you know, right now it's kind of like a little bit of a landing page because the app is not out yet. It's not in full production, but we're in testing. But you'll just, you know, you'll see a join us button, click the join us button, join the community. We're going to have first time users. We're going to onboard, you know, our community first. And we're going to give early entry to people who are engaged in the community first. If you have any contact with potential pilot projects, academic medical centers, if you know deans of academic medical centers, chief medical officers, residency program directors, registrars, because they're the ones that actually issue the credentials, GME office directors, and you want this permanent, eternal credentialing solution to be a part of your life, please reach out to me and make an introduction. My email is leah@hpec.io, HPEC.io. And then we're also on social media, of course.
Thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited and very grateful.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.